Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim and I, a little bit subdued today. We both had our teams in the respective NFC and AFC championship games yesterday. My Bears fell short, his Jets fell short, so there's a little bit of somberness, but fortunately there's at least a little bit of good news and some crazy news from the world of politics to brighten our spirits today, Jim.
Indeed. Oh, by the way, it's also March for Life Day, but that's, you know, right now thousands upon thousands of pro-lifers are freezing their noogies off out of the mall, doing fine, honorable work, and hopefully not, you know, hopefully the march against hypothermia will be tomorrow, because it's apparently the most frigid day ever to hold this march. But now we have you know, other reasons for glumness. Give me some good news, Greg, quickly.
Exactly. Well, here's some good news and slightly unexpected news we got Friday night.
Regardless, this is the last edition of Countdown. It is just under 8 years since I returned to MSNBC.
Keith Olbermann, bomb thrower extraordinaire, perhaps saving his most pathetic work for the wake of the Tucson tragedy, but from his excoriating of President Bush for basically being alive to in every decision he ever made. Basically, the world is a better place without Keith Olbermann having an hour of primetime cable spot.
You know, Greg, if he had been struck by lightning on set, it would have been less surprising. Because in that case, oh, well, karma caught up with him. You know, the big man upstairs has had enough of this. But this, I'm you know, being no fan of Olbermann, I'm not going to be, you know, crying any tears at his departure. I would note actually that just this morning, Greg, I made my debut on MSNBC. They booked me Friday afternoon. So my suspicion is he heard I was coming on and said, that's it. This place has gone to the dogs. I will not appear on any network that Jim Garrity appears on. Obviously, it sounds like this was just the straw that broke the camel's back between a longstanding fight between him and his superiors at MSNBC. He used to joke that his boss, Phil Griffin, thinks that he's Olbermann's boss. Well, actually, Phil Griffin is his boss. You know, I mean, that question has been answered pretty solidly here. I'm pleased by it, but it just feels mysterious. It just feels weird that this wasn't in response to any particular trigger, like the donations to Democratic candidates and such. It sounds like the patience just ran out, and that's fine. It just kind of feels weird that this happened at this time, this place, at this moment, that this, you know, pain in the tuchus will evaporate from our television screen.
And Jim, I think one of the things that you pointed out in the Morning Jolt today probably had a lot to do with it. This is a guy who was such a head case, he would threaten frequently to not show up that day. They had to have standby hosts ready to go. And eventually, even if it is the highest rated show on a network that doesn't really get very high ratings, you eventually get tired of that. But I also think you lurched to the truth earlier. Your appearance this morning, listen carefully to this now, as to what Savannah Guthrie says at the very end of this.
All right, Jim Garrity, National Review online columnist. I know we'll be checking in with you
absolutely
a lot, so thanks for being
looking
with
forward
us.
To coming in.
Checking in with you a lot, Jim. I think this is a whole new shift on the part of MSNBC. They've seen the light from the midterm elections, and you, sir, are in good position to take over the 8 o'clock time slot.
I have two thoughts on that, Greg. The first is, but my second thought is, I don't know about you, Greg, I love Comcast. They are a fantastic, fantastic company, the new owner of NBC Universal, and many fine people there in making wonderful programming decisions there. Interesting that I had heard those kind words, and I guess I should have. Perhaps there's more meaning to them than I expected.
Absolutely right. Well, on to more policy-weighted issues now. And of course, the State of the Union is coming up tomorrow night. And one of the big issues during the midterm elections was, does the president, do the Democrats finally get this over the fact that people don't like them rapidly expanding the size and scope and influence and power of government and just spending our tax dollars like they're water? Well, apparently they don't. Here's Dick Durbin on Fox News Sunday.
We've got to focus on educating and innovating. We can't be so laser focused on the deficit that we ignore the obvious. We are still in a recession. We need to put America back to work. You can't end the deficit unless you start putting America back to work.
Because that worked so well in 2009 with the stimulus plan, so it's a good thing that they're going back to that well.
You know, Greg, it's kind of fascinating that for years and years and years, you could argue going back for like a generations, Washington has largely ignored the deficit. Once a year, the numbers would come out and people would go tisk-tisk and the Concord Coalition would shake their heads and Robert Samuelson would write a very glum column and then life would go on as normal. Now, for once, we actually have members of Congress talking about reducing spending and talking about it as a serious problem. Some people comparing it as a nation-threatening problem. And Dick Durbin fears we'll focus like a laser beam on it. Boy, you know, it's all or nothing there, huh? You know, you really can't. We went from completely paying no attention to too much attention in Dick Durbin's mind. It's frustrating. My understanding is that Obama's going to be calling for a lot of investment in the State of the Union address. I guess that shows that stimulus just doesn't work with the focus groups anymore. I think why one of the reasons I would score this as a bad martini is cutting government is always hard. If Obama had had any centrist inclination or any acknowledgement of reality, then these difficult things and entitlement reform and all these difficult steps that need to be taken to get control of the deficit and the debt would be a little bit easier. And the answer is he's not going to do that. I think it's going to be kind of he's going to try to paint the Republicans as these architects of a painful austerity, and he's going to be sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, and we've got to keep spending money on this stuff. And as much as public opinion has turned in the Republicans' favor in this, I just, you know, look, you know, there's no more free ice cream is always a tough sales message. And my feeling is that there'll be a, you know, certain segment of the public that's really going to want to keep hearing that we can keep spending money the way we have and everything will turn out right in the end.
Yeah, certainly true. But I think back to the first time that I heard the word investment in this context, and I believe it was Bill Clinton in 1993 using the words like contribute and invest. And oh, yeah, that just happens to be my sales pitch for the largest tax increase in American history. So hang on to your wallets, America. Hang on to your wallets. All right, on to the third and potentially bizarre martini now. And this is one that some of our conservative and Republican brethren may differ over. We are hearing word that it's pretty much a done deal that former Virginia governor and former Virginia Senator George Allen is going to throw his hat into the ring and try to win back the seat he lost in 2006 to Jim Webb, a seat that he should have been reelected to easily, if not for the whole Makaka controversy and the bizarre aftermath that followed there. Webb won a very narrow victory in that race, and it was a huge Democratic year. My sense on this, Jim, is that why have this huge fight all over again? You know that the liberals are going to be throwing this on him no matter where he goes and what he says, and he's going to have a hard time staying on message. He's also a guy that was in the Senate, for better or for worse, from 2001 to 2007, when Republicans pretty much dropped the ball when it came to fiscal responsibility. I think he's going to have a hard time making that case. And given how well Republicans have done in Virginia over the past couple of years here in the state and federal elections, there's a very deep bench. It's a fight and an expense that I just don't think we need.
I'm going to disagree slightly. And that's one of the things I'd characterize this as our remains to be seen martini. One, if the entire argument from Jim Webb and the Democrats for why George Allen should not be elected focuses on Makaka, it's going to look really out of touch. That, you know, this is still a state that's got some high unemployment in some areas. Northern Virginia is doing okay through all this government spending, but the rest of the state is going through the exact same hard times the rest of the country is. I think there's a great danger of overreaction on the part of our friends on the left if they keep running basically on a statement he made in 2006. Secondly, George Allen is still pretty well respected by Republicans in Virginia. We will see if any further, you know, there are a couple of Virginia Republicans who've made some noises about running for this seat. But right now, none of them are particularly big names, not Ken Cuccinelli, the attorney general or anything like that. So my guess is there will be one big fish in this campaign and many small fishes, and we'll see how that shakes out. And the other thing is, you talk about him being in Washington during not glamorous times for conservatives. It's not like George Allen was voting that way. This man had a 93 lifetime ACU rating. So this is not like George Allen is a poster boy for the Murkowski or Snow or Collins style Republicanism. So, you know, I guess I say the jury will be out. You know, it's entirely possible. The Allen campaign in 06 was absolutely snake bitten. They could not do anything right. And the Washington Post waged a jihad against them. Now, I realize somebody's going to say I'm using, you know, insightful rhetoric describing it that way, but it was mentioned more than 100 times in a really short span and cropping up in the style section, and every section except the classifieds was going after George Allen in the Washington Post, and even that might have, you know, I might have missed that page. Will it be a similar circumstance in this cycle? I don't think so. Interesting rumors from Jim Webb folks saying that he may not be all that interested in running. So we'll see how this shakes out. I think it's safe to say whatever we see, it will not be a perfect copy of the 06 campaign.
Certainly true. And I don't want to disparage Governor Allen too much. I voted for him twice, and given the matchup of Allen versus Webb again, I'd certainly vote for him again. So we'll see if he dominates the Republican field or what happens here as we get going. Jim, certainly a busy day to start the week. We've got State of the Union and a whole lot more coming up. Look forward to the rest of the week.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.